Well, hi again, everybody. It is Bill Crawford along with Damon Whitten. It's the Laker Hockey Show. Good crowd here at the Antlers tonight. And Damon, as we were last Tuesday night, we're coming off a big victory. We get a win in double overtime on Saturday night after a 4-1 loss to Bemidji State at home on Friday. And let's just talk a little bit about that series. I thought we actually played pretty darn well Friday night. We just couldn't buy a goal. That's been a problem. And then on Saturday night, it looked like the same thing until the third period. And Hampus Eriksson came through. He got us going 10 minutes into the third period. He also scored the game-winning goal in double overtime. And in between there, we had a really nice goal by Lucas Kybel, and the Lakers win the game 3-2.
Yeah, there was some similarities between the games and in the series. You know, I think Tom's done a great job. I mean, Bemidji sitting on top of the WCHA, and they're a good team. They're getting tremendous goaltending, and that had a big impact on Friday's game. And, you know, I thought we were pretty good for most of that game. I know the stats will show they went, I think, 1-for-5 maybe on the power play, but it was an empty net goal with, you know, just seconds remaining. I thought our penalty killers did a really good job and maybe a little bit of an inconsistent game. 3 or 4 of our penalties came in the offensive zone, which is, you know, never good. Coaches go nuts when you take a penalty in the offensive zone. So, you know, that was not where we needed to be discipline-wise, taking penalties down there. But I thought our penalty killers responded. You know, but same thing, we chased the game again, even though we had a good start. We're down 1-0, and that's been certainly a broken record here, really, really all season long. Big shorthanded goal by Max Humitz to knot that thing up. And from there, it's, you know, it's a tight game. It's a one goal game. They go up 2-1 late second period, and we're within striking distance and one goal. And then even, you know, the late call, Brendan McKay makes a great play with an empty net to strip the puck of the guy, and somehow it's a penalty. And so that chance to maybe striking distance and get one back and then force that to overtime never materialized. But like you said, we, you know, we struggled to score. It wasn't a lack of, you know, quality chances. I thought we had some really good looks at the net, and Driscoll was outstanding, and, you know, really probably the difference in that game. So, you know, Bemidji's speed and their ability to score a couple of goals was the difference there. And as you said, you know, Saturday night looked a lot of the same way. We weren't probably as good on Saturday night. I thought our details were better, but we didn't generate as much early on. And, you know, certainly that first goal was huge to get us on the board. But we go down 1-0 in the second period, and then 2-0. They score a power play goal third period. And, you know, you could feel it on the bench. You know, there's a sag there. There's a little deflation. You know, but we needed somebody to get us going. And I thought Hampus played extremely well all weekend long. He's been, you know, very consistent for us all season. He's got a lot of assists. Good to see him get a couple goals on the board. But that first goal certainly put a little wind in our sails, you know, got us going a little bit. You know, tough building this weekend with the students gone, you know, just a different feel. And I think that 5 o'clock start maybe didn't get out as much as we would have liked. So it was just, you know, it's a weird feeling when you walk in there. And we're watching Mankato this weekend against Duluth at Duluth. You know, you're talking about the back-to-back national champions, and the same thing in that building. You know, on the holiday, it's just a really tough weekend to be home. And I'm not sure, you know, how much impact that had on Duluth. You know, Minnesota State's playing so well, but it was hard. You know, it's hard when you're that home team to get that life and energy feed off your fans. But certainly Hampus's goal had a big impact. It got the building going there, a little bit of life and buzz behind us. And then Lucas Kybel gets the game tier on a good job. Both goals, all three goals came with guys driving the net and having guys playing in that dirty area, which is something, you know, we've really tried to stress, getting our guys there to pay the price and to get there with a purpose. So that was big. And then obviously, you know, a power play goal in overtime to get the win, you know, a really critical point and a really important game. You know, the last two Saturdays have been really gritty efforts by our guys. You know, I give them a lot of credit. They're staying with it. It's been challenging. It seems like anytime we get one area of our game going, one or two other areas is not there. So we're getting goaltending. There's no offense. We get offense, the goaltending's off, or the power play chips in, you know, a little bit, the PK's off. So we've just not been able to get everything on the same page. And, you know, that's my job to figure that out. So we'll keep working through it, but I think our guys are doing a good job working through it. A really, really big win, a really big critical points there in the standings, and something we have to build off of for, you know, a really challenging matchup at you know, what's clearly the best team in the country, Minnesota State. I mean, they're just firing on all cylinders, no weaknesses in the lineup. And, you know, we're going to have to use these last two Saturdays to grow and get better for a chance to go in and beat, you know, just an unbelievably talented Mankato team.
Yeah, they're really good. We're going to talk about them in a few minutes in detail. I want to stick with this series with Bemidji right now, though. I thought one of the big differences, Damon, on Saturday night compared to Friday, we didn't maybe play as well, but I thought we got in Driscoll's face a little bit more on all the goals that were scored on him. He had traffic there, and that was the difference. I thought Friday night he really had it pretty easy. He didn't have to make huge saves. He did get across a few times. He had a great backdoor save on Oliver on Friday night, but for the most part, he could see the puck Friday night, whereas on Saturday, I didn't think it was as easy for him.
Yeah, there's no question. That was one of our, you know, one of the main things we showed Saturday morning in terms of trying to make a couple adjustments and just some teaching clips for our players. Some of our better looks, as you said, Driscoll had clear eyes on the puck, and you know he's going to make those saves just like McKay this weekend. If he can see the puck he's making, he's at a 95 save percentage, you know, with a tremendous decor in front of him. So if McKay sees it, if Driscoll sees it, they're making those saves, and so we've got to do a better job getting to the net. We did that Saturday night, and that's the difference in the hockey game.
Power play, we didn't do too well on the weekend, but we got a big power play goal when we needed it. The game winner in double overtime was a power play goal. 1-for-7, the Lakers went. Bemidji wasn't that much better. I think they were 2-for-5 on the weekend.
Well, yeah, like I said, one was the empty netter. So, yeah, you know, again, our special teams are not where they need to be. You know, both sides of that. You know, it's a work in progress. It's not there, and part of it, like you said, is having that net front presence and a guy doing a good job there. But you know, we've struggled to be consistent in that area. I thought we got going a couple of weeks ago, and then it's been challenged again. Bemidji's got one of the top penalty kills in the country, as does Mankato. So I think that, you know, definitely the opponents are having a large impact onto our opportunities and the job they do. I think Bemidji's, you know, really good in the penalty kill, and in watching Mankato's outstanding. You know, they're a really long team. They've got good height, really good reach, elite sticks, just like Bemidji, and so they really make it tough on the penalty kill. And you know, it's going to be important for us to find a way to contribute and chip in that way.
Did we nominate Hampus Erickson for forward of the week in the league this week? I was really surprised he wasn't even in the honorable mention list. He had 2 goals and he had a game-winning goal, and I thought he played pretty darn well both games. And he wasn't on that list. The forward of the week was Jake Jeremko from Minnesota State, who had 2 goals and 3 points in a sweep at Tech, or at Duluth, rather. The defenseman of the week was Alec Rauhauser, the big guy from Bowling Green. He had 2 points and was a +3, but they won 2 games against Notre Dame, a very good team. The goaltender was McKay from Minnesota State. We just mentioned him. He stopped 64 of 68 shots at the defending national champions. That's pretty darn good. He's a good goaltender. 37 saves he had on Saturday night, so he was goalie of the week. And Nathan Smith, outstanding first-year player at Minnesota State. He had a goal, 3 points. He is second, tied for second, I think, on their team in scoring now as a rookie player.
Sure, yeah.
And yet Hampus wasn't even among the honorable mentions, and I thought he should at least be there.
Yeah, no question. I thought it was a good weekend. You know, I don't think he got in the score sheet Friday night, and that's probably part of it, and in a split as well. So, yeah, definitely could have been a nominee and worth some recognition. I think, again, he's played really well. I think it's been a really consistent year through these first you know, stretch of games here in the first half almost now as we wrap up. He's been one of our highlights to play. Very consistent, doing it at both ends of the ice and all special team situation as well, and I think there's no question he deserves recognition and has done a really good job for us.
I thought Lucas Kybel was really good on Saturday too. He was all over the ice. It seemed like he was paying attention when we were looking at clips. He was trying to go to the net. He was rewarded with a game-tying goal on Saturday, but I just thought he was really good the whole game, and he assisted on the game-winning goal.
Yeah, it was, and Lucas, you know, he's played well. Again, one of those consistent guys for the most part. You know, maybe not quite as high-end as he was this weekend, where he kind of got back on track to really being an impact guy, you know, and it was good to see. You know, he's a very consistent player for us, power play, penalty kill, you know, a leader on that back end, that decor as well, and in that locker room. So, you know, we need those guys to be that good for us and to be those difference makers, both offensively and defensively. And, you know, probably another guy that could have got some recognition because it was a strong weekend to play out of Lucas.
You're listening to the Laker Hockey Show. Damon Witten, Bill Crawford here at the Antlers on East Portage talking Laker hockey. I thought another guy who had a great weekend for you, and especially Saturday, was Pete Violette. He had two big assists. I thought he played really well, used his body well to shield the puck and make plays, and he was rewarded with a couple of points.
Yeah, you know what? I mean, they skate well. They've got a lot of pace in that lineup, and you know, you have to be able to match that to impact the game. When you're playing a team with pace, you know, you have to be able to skate. And Pete, as we all know, is one of our most dynamic skaters, and so he can be dangerous, you know, any game, but certainly in a game like that when it's up and down, a lot of foot races, you know, wide speed, all those things are real strengths to Pete's game. So, yeah, again, I thought he's been a guy that's been very consistent. There's a reason he's up in our top four in scoring and, you know, taking a good step this year as a sophomore, as a guy we count on in a lot of areas. And he's done a good job responding and then being a go-to guy for us.
Yeah, we lost one of our better players on Saturday night. Colin Sackelman went out with an injury, lower body. It looks like he may not even make the trip to Mankato this weekend. He had an MRI on yesterday. And what's the situation there?
Yeah, waiting for more results. Yeah, certainly doubtful for this weekend, you know, and waiting to find out a little bit more, you know, once he gets a little bit more evaluation done on a lower body injury. So, you know, he's a big loss, obviously. We all know how much hockey he's played for us. He's a captain for us, another guy that plays all situations there. And, you know, yeah, just one of those things, you know, where we're losing key guys to long stretches, and that's tough to overcome. There's not really one guy that's going to step in and replace all the things that the guy like Colin or Jacob can do, or Braden, who's been out all year long. But it's an opportunity for maybe multiple guys to bite off a few more minutes, to expand the penalty kill role. Somebody's going to get a chance in the power play to replace Colin and all he brings there. So it's going to be by committee a little bit to replace a guy like that. But he'll be sorely missed. And, you know, I think the thing that breaks your heart a little bit for a senior, and, you know, this series, you know, he loves going home to play.
Right.
His mom's from just an hour or two away, and he's always shown up and played extremely well down at Minnesota State, being a Minnesota native there. So tough to see. You know, he's a huge part of our team. He's an unbelievable kid. You know, we hope for the best there, but we'll wait to hear a little bit more.
On the good news side, it looks like Braden Gelsinger is going to return to the lineup this weekend at Minnesota State. Not a great place to step on the ice and play
back your
first games of the season, but it'll be great to have him back in there. He looked really good in practice, and I think he's going to help.
Well, we just talked about Pete and how important it is to be able to skate and play with pace against, you know, teams that can skate, or, you know, any elite team. And Mankato is certainly an elite team with a lot of pace to their game. So getting Braden back is going to be, you know, a real big boost to our lineup. You know, we really missed him. Again, not a guy, especially as a senior, that you can easily replace with somebody else in your roster. It takes time to have the savvy he has and the know-how. So it's going to be really nice. He's been back skating. This will be his second week here. And so, you know, he has been around, as you mentioned, last week. And guys know he was close to returning. And you just see the difference he makes in the pace of everything the puck touches. Like you said, not an easy way to get inserted back into the lineup on the road against the best team in the country. You know, we really need him back. We're looking forward to it. Will be interesting to see, you know, how he does game shape and game conditioning. You know, we'll have to make a decision if we go 13 forwards and spot him around a little bit or have a time to rest him occasionally. You know, we're really excited to get Braden back. He'll have a big, big impact right away for our team.
Yeah, we're going to have him here at the show tonight, too. Braden will be joining us right at the last segment. Damon has got to get out of here a little bit early, and Braden Gelsinger will be on, and we'll get a chance to chat with him about the 18 games he's missed here and how excited he is to play on Friday night in Mankato. We're going to take a break. We'll be back with the second segment of the Laker Hockey Show on ESPN 1400. Well, the Lakers are heading to Mankato, Minnesota this weekend. Welcome back to our second segment of the Laker Hockey Show. Bill Crawford, Damon Witten talking Lakers, as we do every Tuesday night here at the Antlers at 6 p.m. Join us if you can. And don't forget, we've got Laker Hockey Talk coming your way. That's about a 25-minute program on Thursday morning at 8:30 right here on ESPN 1400. And every Tuesday, we follow Randy Russin's Hockey North Show. Lots of talk going on ESPN these days. Damon, you're going to go to Minnesota State this weekend. They're only ranked number one in the country. They just beat the defending national champions from Duluth twice at Duluth on the weekend. It's a darn good hockey team. You look at them statistically, they rank, and I quote, and the stats don't lie, they are number one in the nation in goals against. They allow 1.14 per game. 16 goals they've allowed all season, and they haven't played any patsies. They've played some really good teams. They are number two in the nation in power play efficiency, 31%. Pooh, that's just scary. Number five in the nation in penalty kill at 92.3, and number six in the nation in goals for, 3.79 per game. And the Lakers don't stack up real well there, but games on the ice, it's not on the stat sheet.
Yeah, that's why you play it, I suppose. But yeah, there's not a lot of weaknesses in that that lineup. You know, Mike's done an unbelievable job with that program. You know, the commitment they made to building that up and committing to their the hockey program has been outstanding. And you know, Mike and his staff do as good a job as anybody in the country. So you know, you watch them play a really good Duluth team, and you know, just really you know, control a lot of the play. And those stats you just mentioned, you know, they're all legitimate. They have weapons up and down their lineup. They have a ton of size, certainly on their back end in particular, but they don't give up mobility with it. They defend so well, so aggressively, and you know, the goals against being 1.14, you know, it's hard to generate an initial scoring chance, let alone get inside their decor to get a second scoring chance on there, a rebound chance on McKay. And when you do that, you know, he's at a 95. And so it's a team with no real weaknesses on paper, and then the stats show that. But like you said, that's why you play the game there. And you know, we're excited. I think it's a great opportunity to go in there and you know, match up against the best team in the country, and then you know, find a way to steal a game on the road. You know, and I think that's why you love the game for games like this.
Yeah, they got a great building there, the Verizon Wireless Center. They seat about 5,000. They'll probably have it pretty close to full for both games. They're really excited in Mankato about their team, and boy, they ought to be. I think Connor Mackey's going to step out of the college ranks and go right to the big time when he's done this season as a defenseman. They've got Edwin Hookinson back there, Reese Molek, the older brother of the young guy that we just watched play this past weekend on defense for Bemidji. Up front, it seems like Mark Michaelis has been around for about 5 years now. Parker Toomey, Julian Napravnik, they got no weaknesses. They got Nick Rivera on their fourth line. He's a very good player.
Yeah, plays hard, and you know, a good you know, maybe bottom six type forward. He'll run you over, but he can also chip in and contribute offensively, and a very hard guy to play against. You know, that's one of the things that, you know, I'm not sure how Mike's gotten it done, but to get Michaelis back for a senior year, to get Mackey back for a senior year, you know, Mackey was probably one of the top three or four sought after free agent defensemen last year. And, you know, they've got it going there, and they want to return and be part of what they're building. Certainly, I think they're, you know, part of that group staying together is to get something done in the NCAA tournament, where, you know, that's the one thing that maybe Coach Hastings hasn't achieved quite yet. But I think this group is going to help them go a long way making a run this year. So they're fun to watch. You know, that's how you want your team to be built. Their skill, they don't back down from anything. A very gritty, competitive group. Even with guys like Michaelis and Smith and Toomey, they're not going to go around you. They're going to try to go right through you, and then they're going to bury the puck at the end of it. So it's a tremendous team. He's done an awesome job, and it's a big, big challenge here on the weekend.
You're going to have your hands full. Both games, 8:00 Eastern time. Matt Pocket will be out there to provide the play-by-play back on YesFM, and you'll be able to watch if you want to on Flow Sport as well, if you've got that luxury. And it's going to be very interesting. It'll be tough. Then we come home to play Bowling Green right before the Christmas break, but we'll worry about that one next week. We've got a lot of things to think about here with Minnesota
State.
It's
interesting on Bowling Green, though, you know, going in. I didn't see that. Was that home and home Notre Dame?
Yes.
They had a home and home Notre Dame and won both of those games.
5-2 both games.
Yeah, and I like Bowling Green's team, and I really like Notre Dame's team. So I thought that was a tremendous result for Bowling Green to sweep that. Mankato coming off a big sweep with Duluth as well. So, you know, really, really outstanding job by those teams and, you know, against really quality competition as well.
Well, it's great for the WCHA.
Absolutely.
That's the big thing. It helps the RPIs and, you know, I mean, some of these leagues think they're far superior to the WCHA, but, you know, I think the frustrating thing probably, and probably why Connor Mackey and Michaelis are still playing at Minnesota State, is they have not won an NCAA tournament game ever. I mean, they every time they get there, they get that first game, they get beat.
Yeah, and, I think, like I said,
they want to turn that around. They do. Those guys are on a mission.
Yeah, they want to be a part of, you know, just putting that behind them and then making a statement there. And they certainly have the team to do it early on. You know, there's a lot of hockey ahead of all of us there, and including Minnesota State. But this is a team that can do a lot of damage. You know, I think they beat and tied North Dakota a few weeks back. North Dakota's up to 2 or 3 in the polls, having a really strong bounce back year for North Dakota. But to go into Duluth and do what they did, this team is legitimate number one and really, really good.
Well, we've got a number of questions from our fans here tonight, and since, Damon, you're going to be getting out of here about 15 minutes early, we'll get into the start of those right now. We'll take a break in the middle of them, but we've got, obviously, the recruiting question we get every week, the NLIs that may have been signed, and the NLI signing period started 2 weeks ago tomorrow, so there are a number of them. I understand we did get another one back that we can talk about tonight, and there are a couple that we mentioned maybe last week we should bring up again and what position those players play.
Yeah, we kind of hit a handful last week, but the new one we have is Jacob Bengtsson. He's a defenseman, a left-shot defenseman out of Waterloo. He's Swede originally, but been over in Waterloo for the last 2 years. You know, he's 6'2", 6'3", got some really good size, skates well, moves the puck well. Not used in a, you know, a real big offensive role in Waterloo, who I think is, if not the best team in the league, maybe second place. I think they got 4 losses on the year. So really, you know, a really critical piece of a top team in the USHL. You know, his stats reflect a lot like Colin Sockerman, who's another Waterloo player. And, you know, we project him to be a lot like Colin Sockerman, maybe not quite as much, you know, Sacco is so old school and so tough and nasty. There's maybe not quite as much as that, but Jacob is heavy and hard to play against, but he can contribute offensively. He can help on the power play. And, you know, we think he's going to be a real key guy for us to replace what we're losing this year and moving forward. So, I do think of Sockerman. He's got a little bit better size than Sockerman, a touch different player there, but a lot of good parallels between what Colin has brought to Lake State and what we think Jacob can bring, you know, coming in next year and as he progresses through his 4 years here at Lake Superior State.
Have we got any others that have signed recently? Let's mention the one that signed last week, too. We also have a commitment from a young man. We can't use his name because he hasn't signed the NLI yet, but he is committed to Lake State verbally in the past week.
Yeah, I think just yesterday, my days are all running together here this time of year when you're in the middle of the season. It was either yesterday or, I think it was yesterday, maybe Sunday evening, but a new verbal commitment for a forward to come in, and we're excited about that young man, and we'll talk about him sooner than later, hopefully. And again, I know we went over a couple guys last week, but Ethan Langenegger continuing to have a strong year up in Salmon Arm, the goaltender. Josh Wildauer just coming off a game-winning goal on Sunday against Nanaimo, which is one of, I think Coquitlam might have the top team out there in the BCHL, and it was a big tilt versus Nanaimo, and I think Josh scored the game-winning goal with under a minute to go, so a real big victory for him. I forget who's on what and who's where, who we can talk about, but we're making good progress there. We like where we're at and the pieces we have. Are we done? No, we're never done. You're always looking. You go back to Crispin Doulas. You know, nobody would have thought Crispin Doulas would have signed after his freshman year. So who knows, you know, what it looks like a week from now, let alone 10 months from now. So we'll continue to really pound it and keep working hard. We got a couple more visits that we're working on setting up and getting some guys in. And some of those are for next year, some of them for a year or two out potentially. So it's always, a really interesting thing to work through and look at. And, you know, you're looking at guys no longer going to school they've been committed to for a couple of years. Some kids now are on their second or third school they're committed to. So a lot of things still shaking out in the recruiting world.
Yeah, I was going to mention that too, that there are decommits and young men being told by teams, hey, we had you committed, but we're not going to take you in, so you're free to go do whatever you want to do. That does happen in college hockey as much as many of the other sports in the NCAA these days. Have we had any disappointments lately? I mean, in the last couple of weeks where we thought we were going to get somebody and they decided to commit somewhere else?
Yeah, we did. One of our visits did go somewhere else. So, you know, and then that's obviously recruiting. It's almost as competitive as a game. Like, you know, there's probably no worse feeling than losing a game on a Friday, Saturday night. But when you get a phone call and the young man, you know, went to another school, it's, you know, you're heavily invested in these guys and the time you put into it. So, you know, that happened. That's part of the recruiting process. And, you know, we're going to find the right guys that fit for Lake State, but no, certainly that's part of it. You know, you're going to get a lot of no's along the way. And then that's something that you're always dealing with as well.
Well, that brings us to the next question from the fans here at the Antlers tonight. Are all the coaches, all three or four counting Mike Mike Guggen, I'm talking about, going to Mankato, or is maybe somebody going out to try to find some players?
Yeah, no, I think we will go. You look a lot at, you know, what your needs are, obviously. You know, we're not so far removed from all the showcases. You know, they're still pretty fresh. And then following up in your list out of showcase season. So, you know, now that it's December, it is time to, you know, start finding some things. The other part you want to look at is what showcases are going on. It's always really productive when you're on the road to get a coach out to a big showcase event, where instead of you just seeing one game on a Thursday night, one game Friday, if you can go to Detroit or Chicago or many, wherever it is, and watch 30, 40 games, not that you always love it as a coach who's just, you know, working 78 hours a week already, you know, you can go out and cover a showcase where you're seeing many teams over a 3-4 day period there. So that's productive. But we haven't had a lot of luck with our schedule and even our bye week down the road. You know, some years you get really lucky on maybe your trip to Alaska. There's one or two showcases where you can cover some great ground, or your bye week. You can come into your bye week and go hit a showcase. Our schedule has not matched up extremely well for covering a lot of the showcases that are still going on in season, more the midget hockey and the U18, U16 hockey that continues to have those in-season events there. So, but no, our guys will get out. We'll get out through the holidays and post-holidays and continue to look at some trips. That second half bye, the national program game on Friday night, that weekend, both before the game, leading up to that Friday night game, post game, we'll all be out on the road heavily. So again, it never ends. And, you know, today leaving the rink, you know, Coach Sizek forwarded me an email with clips from a kid and, you know, another guy that we're looking at there. So, you know, basically every night at home, you're talking to 3, 4, 5 kids or advisors, and you're watching games and clips from guys. So, you know, I pretty much live on the laptop watching either pre-scouting Mankato or watching your games back or watching recruits as well. So it's really 24/7. It's really changed a lot over the last 10, 15 years.
Yeah, it's a very tough job at this time. And we're going to lose, what, 6 guys this year and 8 next year? That's a lot of people going out the door, and they have to be replaced.
Yeah, no, I mean, that's college sports, right? I mean, you know that. You know those guys are moving on. It's those surprise ones that can catch you a little bit. But, you know, we're well aware of that cycle. And again, I like where we're at. And I think, you know, with what's gone on with the overcommitments and the pushbacks and the decommitments and the pulling money, you know, having some room and money late has been a really productive thing for some schools the last few years. So that is something we're trying to keep in mind a little flexibility late in the process, you know, because it's happening a lot. There's a lot of kids getting a late call or, you know, an NLI sent late that doesn't reflect what they were verbally offered, and they're looking for a new home late. So, you know, we want to have a little bit of flexibility that way and address needs that we might have. So, you know, we're continuing to evaluate that. And you know, I think Zach and Mike do a really good job being on top of those areas.
Okay, we've got more questions from our fans here. We'll get into those when we return for our third segment. We'll take a break right now. You're listening to the Laker Hockey Show live from the Antlers on ESPN 1400. All right, we're back for our third segment, and a good crowd on hand here tonight at the Antlers, as usual. And, you know, we're coming off a big win on Saturday night. That's the second Saturday night in a row we've had a huge win. The one at Bowling Green was really something this past weekend. Bemidji's a good team. I mean, the competition in this league is pretty tough, and I think Bemidji would beat a lot of teams from other leagues if they had a chance to play against them, too. And this certainly, the one we're going to play this weekend, is going to be really tough. We got more questions from our fans here tonight. Some of these are, I call these loaded questions. Do you think we deserve all the penalties we've been taking this year? And remember that WCHA officials are listening.
Yeah, right. Yeah, you know, I mean, it's a tough job, obviously, and I don't know. I mean, have I been really pleased with it? No, I don't think you ever really are, I guess. But, you know, I mean, like the Brendan McKay, there's nothing there. Like, you can't take away a chance for a team to have a chance to come back and make a push there. And it's just kind of a made-up call or it wasn't there. And I think moments later I felt bad that the puck wasn't covered. We had clean possession behind the net off a scrum, and he's sitting there hanging his hat. I'm like, yeah, I know how you feel because I feel the same way. So, you know, it's challenging. It is, you know, I don't know. It's challenging. So we do reports every week, and I sit on a national board that, you know, we're looking at all kinds of different areas. The reviews is a big topic we're talking about nationally. You know, that was one on one of the kneeings this weekend. Why don't you review it? I thought it was a bad knee. You're reviewing all these plays, and then you don't review one that, you know, I thought should have been easily reviewed. So inconsistency is what it goes both ways, and it's just something you have to play through and play against. And I'm sure it won't be easy this weekend against a team like Minnesota State, who's going to possess pucks, who has good size, and, you know, we're going to have a lot of discipline.
Yeah, the situation on that game too. After the game, I think Bruce Vita felt as bad as anybody. He was actually apologetic, evidently down in the coaches or down in the officials room that I blew that one. That was my fault, and he felt bad about it because it was a great play. And when you look at it,
yeah,
I mean,
really
McCabe
play.
Of all people, he's not the fastest guy, but he was certainly fast on that play. He took to the ice and he swept the stick around and took that puck right off Somoza's stick.
Yeah, it was a good play, a real good play, a defensive play by Brendan. And, you know, tough job, but, you know, you'd like a little bit more consistency for sure.
What about the goaltenders? Is anyone you see can step up and take the job from Merrick's Mittens, or is he number one?
Well, I mean, I don't think that's a loaded question. He's played, you know, all but two or three games. So, yeah, he's number one. But it doesn't mean, you know, that that's set in stone or that doesn't change. You know, that's a week to week and a day to day evaluation. You know, we got a lot of faith in Merrick's, and we think he's a very quality goaltender, but Roman and Seth can play as well. So, you know, I think I said last week, I do think you'll see the other guys and Seth at some point here. And I think he's done a good job, you know, coming in. He had some summer setbacks, Seth did, with his training. So he's finally at a better space, strength and cardio wise. And made some really good progress. So, yeah, no, I think other guys will get some opportunities, but it's pretty obvious that Merrick's is number one because he's played, you know, nearly every game. And his numbers aren't where he would like them to be, where we would like them to be, but that's not just on goaltending. That's the team. That's everybody. You know, he's had some off games, but he's also had some really good games as well. So we like him a lot and think he's a very capable goaltender and the only guy in the country last year to go in and beat Minnesota State at Minnesota State. So you guys will all be re-asking that next week when he does it again this year, I hope. So we like him, and he's good.
Are you still changing lineups, or do you basically have your lines pretty much set? I would think you're going to be changing it here Friday night because Braden's got to come in a lineup somewhere, and somebody else has got to move. So
yeah, well, Braden's in the building sitting there, so this won't be a huge shock to him. But obviously we're getting back a top forward who you know, plays in our top six and has probably since day one, really, when he stepped on campus as a freshman. And, you know, so you get a guy like him back, yes, he's going to have to insert somewhere back up in the top of your lineup. He's got the skating ability, the skill, you know, to impact the game that way. And so, you know, will it be week one? We'll have to see how his legs are. I know he wants to get back in there and get rolling. But, you know, he'll get a lot of opportunities amongst our top six. And, you know, if it's not this weekend, it won't take long for him to work his way back in there. You know, he's a key penalty killer for us the last couple of years. I think him and Nellis partnered together most of the year last year. We're really good together, good chemistry and good up ice. And also, you know, a really key to our power play as well. So he's a guy that will dictate some movement. And, you know, we're not totally sure, you know, what that will look like yet. But a couple ideas. You know, one thing we do, and we've gone back, look, the last couple of days, is we've got every practice plan saved, you know, in my 6 years here, Braden's 4 years here. So we can go back to Braden's freshman year, tell you who he played with, you know, back, you know, last November and December when we were really hot and, you know, on a great streak. We can tell you, you know, what drills we did that day, who we played with, things like that. So we use that to kind of look at, you know, some of those combinations, chemistry, things like that. And it's a good week to kind of look back with him returning.
All righty, that takes care of that one. What about There's a question here about guys falling down. I haven't noticed that all that much, but I did notice on the weekend, especially Saturday night, Yuki Miura seemed to have a hard time when he would try to cut hard. He's a very good skater and a fast skater, but he did fall down quite a few times, and then he made a great play on the game-tying goal.
Yeah. You know what? We actually had a discussion today on our ice, you know, and I found out some stuff about our building. You know, we had a big project done with Johnson Control. Some of you at the university know that. And they had actually programmed some holiday, I think, throughout all of campus, you know, with students gone and buildings closed. They had changed some of the settings for the building. So that did affect ice conditions this weekend. You know, I didn't know it going into the weekend. And now hopefully we'll be ahead of it for the Christmas, even though, you know, we won't have games near there, but a lot of our settings were dialed back and to conserve energy and save energy. So we didn't know that till Monday. So you know, that was a little bit of an impact there, and we're going to work on our ice conditions. We're going to bring it down a little bit cooler, you know, see what that does to ice and help that out hopefully a little bit.
Okay, we're going to let you get out of here pretty quick, Damon. I know Joey's probably playing tonight or practicing or something, and you'd like to be there for that. We understand that. We do have one more question here. It concerns me. It's why doesn't Bill Crawford make road trips anymore?
Let me just clarify.
I can tell you.
He's not suspended for violation of team rules. This is not a team issue. This is a Bill Crawford issue, so you handle it.
Yeah, it's Bill Crawford does not like sleeper buses. He will not get on one and make a trip, and he doesn't like making 13-hour drives to places like Mankato, Minnesota. So I've just cut back on a lot of this stuff. I'm at the age now where, and we've got a very capable backup play-by-play man now that we did not have before. And Matt Pocket can do this, and it gives him experience. He likes it, and he's going to Burlington, and he's going to Plymouth, Michigan. I will go on the road again this year, but it'll be to Michigan Tech and Ferris State.
I think that's called paying your dues, right?
That's right.
You've done this many years. You've paid your dues, and a well-deserved break. So those trips are tough, but we appreciate the great job you do. And, you know, like you said, it's a good chance for Matt to get in there. But, yeah, it's strange not having you, but I know why you're doing it.
Yeah, and
you've earned it.
I get to go back and do Coach's Corner this Saturday morning. That's where I started.
Is it throwback there? Yeah,
yeah, right. We're going to reboot there. We're going to take a break. We'll be back. Braden Gelsinger is going to join us for the final segment of the Laker Hockey Show live from the Antlers on ESPN 1400. Well, good evening, everybody. Our final segment of the show, live from the Antlers. Bill Crawford joined now by Braden Gelsinger, a senior hockey player for the Lakers. Braden, you've missed 18 games this season, and I know you've been sitting upstairs watching these games and not liking it too much. It's no fun to be on the sidelines with an injury, but you had a pretty serious injury, and I think you've made a tremendous comeback to be back this soon, really. Let's talk a little bit about the injury, the nature of it, how it happened, and then everything that you did to rehab.
It was just a lower body injury I had in practice. You know, before the season started, I think it was in September it happened. So, just a little scrum in the corner, fell down, ended up getting cut in my leg pretty bad. So, I had to go down Traverse City, get surgery done, and get recovering from there.
Now, let's give Pat Sarnie some credit here, too, and anybody else who deserves it. I know you probably had a student trainer or two helping you as well, and maybe some doctors. But, you know, it's incredible the recovery you made, because when I first saw you, you were immobilized completely, and you were on crutches. You couldn't really move at all. And yet you've come all the way back from that. And our trainer, Pat Sarnie, I think, worked with you, and, you know, a lot of different things that you do to rehab. And I know you worked hard at it because you want to play.
Yeah, no, definitely. He's helped me a lot to get ready to be back. So, I was expected to be out a lot longer than I came back. So, it's good to be back, and you know, he's been working hard with me, you know, to get ready for this weekend. So, I'm just glad to be back and you know, do what I can to help the boys. So.
Yeah, and it's a thing. There wasn't any question about it. We talked when it first happened, and we thought this is really serious injury. You might want to redshirt this season and come back and play next year, but that wasn't your plan all along. You want to play.
Yeah, we kind of looked into that, and then, you know, just how I'm feeling, and honestly, just, you know, sitting up watching the boys, is just you want to be playing. So, you know, I'm feeling good, so I want to get back out and, you know, help the team as much as I can.
No, I guess the big thing would be with an injury like you had, you can't skate. You couldn't even walk at first. You can't really ride the bike. You can't. Your cardiovascular is liable to fall down a bit. Have you noticed that? Because you've been skating for a couple of weeks now. I looked at you in practice last week. You were flying around pretty good out there, but that's not game conditions. Are you a little concerned with that?
No, I'm in pretty decent shape, I think. You know, even coming back a couple tough ones right off the bat, you know, to kind of get the win back. But I've been working hard off the ice to get feeling good too. So first couple shifts might be a little tough, but I think I should be okay.
Now, have you been working this week with any particular line mates? Does it look like you can see where you're going to be fitting in on Friday night?
We haven't done a ton of line work yet, but wherever coach puts me, you know, I'm just gonna do whatever I can to, like I said, to help the team. You know, whatever role he has me doing, then.
Yeah, last year you had 10 goals. That's pretty darn good. You had some really big goals, as I recall. And, it'd be nice if you could get back to that level again. You got the second half of the season to get something done here. Tough place to step out, though, right off the bat. They go to Minnesota State. It's a very difficult place to get anything done, really. They're a really good team, and yet that's exciting, too.
Yeah, it's exciting. That's, you know, it's a fun rink to play there. They're a good hockey team. So it's a great opportunity for us to go in there and, you know, we're planning to go in. We want to take two wins there, so I know it's going to be tough. But you know, our coaches got us prepared for the weekend, so we're going to be ready to go.
Now, today was kind of an optional day. We really didn't practice. I went up there. I was kind of surprised we weren't on the ice as a team practicing. But I think at this point we've decided that we might want to rest. We got a long bus trip ahead of us. I think you're going to pull out of here about 10:15 tomorrow night and drive all night. Now, you've been on sleeper buses before, so you kind of know what you're getting into there. It's not a big deal for you guys, I don't think, but what'd you do today? Did you get out? I would imagine you'd skate a little bit because you want to get all the skating you can.
Yeah, no, I got out. I did. So we had a goalie session today, so got out there, got to touch the puck a little bit, take some shots, and then team did some dynamic and mobility stuff. So, we're going to, get on the sleeper, have a good day of practice tomorrow, get on the sleeper bus tomorrow night, pull into Mankato, good practice there, and then be ready to go for the weekend. So
yeah, talk a little bit about what you do when you make these trips. You get off that bus, it's about, 7 o'clock in the morning probably when you get there, and you check into the hotel, and what's the rest of the day like? You got obviously somewhere in there, you got a practice session and meals, et cetera. What sorts of things do you do to make sure you're ready to play on Friday night?
Personally, for me, I can sleep pretty good on the sleeper bus. So, you know, guys just try and get as much sleep as they can on that bus and then, hydrate really well and just take care of your body and then, you know, eat well. As soon as we have practice, we need to have a good skate in us to get the bus legs out, as they call it. So get that done and then rest up and be ready to go for the weekend.
You know, we talked to several of the players this season on this show, and the game's changed a lot in the last 20, 30 years. The guys are much more professional with how they do things now, even at the college level. You guys take care of yourselves. Sleep means a lot. The hydration means a lot. Do you have special things that you do and special food you eat to make sure you're in the best shape you can be?
Yeah, I mean, just, you know, eating healthy. Before the games, we always go, like, we have a team meal, so you're going to have, you know, like, pasta and salad and guys will eat it at, you know, the team meal, or I eat mine a little bit later. I like it a little closer to the game time. So eat it then, and then after the game to recover, you know, try and get chocolate milk in you or whatever you can, ice bath, and yeah, basically get every guy's a little different, obviously, on what they need for what, you know, gets them ready to go for the next game. But yeah, just whatever you need to get, and yeah, get that done. So
I can't believe you guys hop in ice baths before a game.
Yeah, they're definitely not fun, but it helps the legs, so you know it's worth it.
Hey, after the bus ride out there, maybe you guys could stick Pocket in the ice bath or just to wake him up when you get to Mankato.
For sure.
Yeah, that'd help him a lot, I think. Now, Braden, you're a senior now. What are you majoring in, and how's school going for you? Are you going to get the degree come May?
Yeah, I'll get the degree. Yeah, I'm a business major. Classes are going good. Finals are next week, so get those wrapped up. And then, next semester, I got a pretty easy semester. I kind of wrapped up most of my my classes. So.
Yeah, most of your stuff you have to take is pretty much done. That's the way it is. Yeah. It's a lot of people do that when they when they're playing athletics and taking part at school as well. That's got to be kind of tough, though. You're going into a really tough weekend here where you got to pay attention to what you're doing with hockey, and you got finals hanging over your head there. Somebody's got to go to work on the bus somewhere. Probably coming home, there'll be a few books out.
Well, we're going to be on the sleeper bus after the game. I can't imagine a lot of guys are going to be cracking the books in the middle of the night. But, I mean, if they do, they do. But, no, just this week, you know, getting in your studying and whatever you need to be ready for your exams next week. And then so that for the weekend, you know, put aside the distractions and just focus on, you know, playing hockey.
Yeah, it'll be an interesting weekend. And then we come home. We got Bowling Green coming to our place before the Christmas break. Now, will you go home and see the parents at Christmas?
Yeah, I'll fly out the day after we play Bowling Green on a Saturday. So be back back to Regina, Saskatchewan. Not sure if everyone in here knows where that is, but yeah.
It's a long way
nice
from
little spot.
Here.
Yeah.
It's a big city. It's a good place.
Yeah, it's a,
it's where Gordie Howe's from. Come on. Anyway, you're going to be going to Burlington, Vermont right after Christmas, too, so I imagine you guys all have to be back pretty quick, maybe the day after or even on the day, trying to get back there to
be ready
to go.
Yeah, I think we fly back on Christmas, so we'll have a practice there, and then because it's a quick turnaround to, you know, the tournament. Obviously, we want to do well at that tournament, so the practices when we get back from Christmas break will, you know, be crucial to, you know, get ready for the tournament.
Yeah, that's another one. It's going to be a tough time here for a while in the month of January and even late December. You're going to come back from Christmas. So you'll fly back in like from Regina, you will, and then you're going to get on a plane right away in Sioux, Ontario, and fly eventually to Montreal and then bus down to Burlington to play in that tournament against Providence and against Vermont. And then you're going to go right from there, I think, right up to Alaska. And you got a week up there where you're going to play first in Anchorage, then in Fairbanks, and come back. And that's going to be a whirlwind with a lot of tired stuff there. And it's going to take – you got the weekend off after that, and I think it's going to – that's going to be good to have that weekend off to recover from all that travel.
Oh, definitely the weekend off after that will be nice. But, yeah, it's kind of nice we're getting you know, both weekends of playing Alaska done over the 2 weeks, because traveling there, then traveling back, like the travel is pretty tough. So if we can get that wrapped up in one, you know, one go, I like that better personally. But
yeah, last year you made two trips up there. That's no fun at all.
No, like the bus and then the plane, you know, the time change is tough to get used to, but it'll be nice that we'll have that just be stuck up there for, you know, another week after we play the first segment. So
well, your mom and dad must be pretty happy you're gonna get back in the lineup here and get playing. I know it's frustrating for them too. I've seen them on a few road trips where they've come to see you play, and they'll get to do that again here in the second half of the season. They're probably pretty pretty pumped about that too.
Yeah, they're pretty excited. I think actually they're gonna be making it out to Minnesota State this weekend, so it'll be good to have them there. They're excited to watch me play, and I'm just pumped to get back in the lineup. It's been a while, and you know, I'm ready to go.
Well, hopefully you'll have some good luck here. You'll get something done at Minnesota State. It won't be easy, but, you know, it's stranger things have happened. We played really well in there last year. They beat us out in the playoffs, but I think it was 2-0, 2-1, and they were both great games, and we did beat them a game in there last year. Merrick shut them out one night, and you were there for that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they have a good team, but definitely a beatable team. We know what they bring. We played against them enough. Well, I have. And, you know, the upperclassmen, and, you know, we're just going to have to play hard against them. We're going to have to be good in the D zone. And when we get scoring opportunities, we're going to have to bury. We're going to have to be, you know, really good on the PK too, because they got a lot of top end players. So,
yeah, and it'd be good to have you back in there. You add that element of extreme speed on the outside. We don't have a lot of that, really. We may maybe have four guys in the lineup who could skate like that. But good luck this weekend. Thanks for being here on the Laker Hockey Show with us, and it's great to have you back in the lineup.
Oh, thank you. Appreciate it. Thanks for having me.
All right, Braden Gelsinger joining us. We're going to have to get out of here. Matt's going to do some giving away of tickets, et cetera, after we're off the air. But I want to thank Emily back at the station for keeping us on the air, Damon Witten, and Braden Gelsinger joining us tonight, and Matt Pocket doing our engineering here. Bill Crawford, so long from the Antlers on ESPN 1400.